Discorder, that free magazine from CITR, has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke you every day. Pick up a copy around Vancouver or fuck with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
Yo. Hey love, I wanna hold you and talk to you. Put my arm around your shoulder and walk with you. Be that one that'll serve you, my word to you. I know that don't be doing what he's supposed to do. I got much more to give than homie do. And you so fine, I just wanna roll with you. You're a queen, I need a king close to you. You need it like Peter, just flow with you. And I gotta try, cause anything's possible. And you just might see things the way I do. I just wanna get next to you, friends with you. Burn hundreds and wake up in the bed with you. I love when you walk, how that body move. Part my mouth from just being honest, boo. I will pay for airtime just to vibe with you. Kisses and hugs until the next time you swing
so
through.
Thirsty or nothing, but when I see something, boo, I go hard for the one, hit myself. I'ma take you out to eat and kill any misconception that you got a mob deep. Throw that bug in your ear, and it's about time, cause if you like me, been wanting you for years. Bump heads here and there, but never got the chance. Best of those who wait, once I get up in the pants, ain't no 1 minute man. Supposed to be with him, but it changed those plans. Anything you gots to do, lie. Must be out of monkey ass mind. How the hell he getting tired of you? Let me light that fire that your body desire. Get you back to being sexy, single free like mine. Cause I treat him right. You know how I rock, and wherever you at, girl, I'm on the next flight.
This baby girl, you straight for sure. Rest assured, you in the arms of strength. Baby, I die for my loved ones. Make no mistake, I'm not that man. I keep my bait.
And it's a cold world, your man don't understand your pain. And I know you getting tired of the same old same. He expect to keep you locked with that 5-cap ring. Let's cop that old real while 112 sing.
Good morning. You're here with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR, Vancouver's community radio station. I'm your host, Issa Arian, and what we had there was a little bit of Mobb Deep and 112. Rest in peace to Prodigy. Half of Mobb Deep. You can't forget about Havoc either, but you can't forget about 112 either, because, you know, they're always... I feel like 112 was underrated when we think back about early 2000s and 90s. If you never listen here, we talk a little bit about some local news, some national news, some news from America. And then just any other interesting stories that I come across. Today we were supposed to have a guest, It's my fault because my show's a little early, so sometimes people make confirmations and then they don't show up. However, we're broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam and Coast Salish territory. It's important to acknowledge the foundational ground that we broadcast from. Yesterday was Indigenous National Indigenous Day, celebrating the history and traditions of the First Nations people all across Canada. I feel like we need something like that in the United States. However, people are so backwards that I feel, for no reason, they would refuse to acknowledge it. We probably already have one, but it is not something that is nationally known. For the next hour, I'll be taking you down my path, introducing you to some new music, introducing you to some stories that you probably didn't know, have never heard of, maybe even thought about. However, you should. If you'd like to call in, the number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-822-2487. Today's June 22nd. We got a lot of stories from you for you today. Normally, I pick too many stories, and we never really get to all of them. But today, I decided to be a little more selective, and choose ones that I feel that are really, really close to me and how I think. You know, we like to go over the weather, and the weather is going to be beautiful here in Vancouver for the next 2 weeks. So, if you enjoy Canada Day and you enjoy weekends, you will enjoy yourself here in Vancouver with a high of 28 this weekend on Saturday. For my American listeners, 28, I believe, is like 85 or 90. It's pretty hot. And it'll be sunny. We know we don't really get 14 sunny days in a row. So while I'm looking at this forecast, I expect that some of these days will turn into rain. However, it says sunny all the way into July 6th. Kind of disappointing because while it's been cold here for the past few weeks, I'm going to LA this weekend where it's always sunny. But I like to stay in Vancouver when it's sunny. Sometimes we like to have some comedians, some really smart people, and just some of my friends like to call in. Might have a call in today to talk about a few of our topics in the second half of the hour as we get into more of the American news, particularly in the Philando Castile. If you have not, I'll give you some time to read up about it before we talk about it. British Columbia this week, there was a report that came out that hospital admissions, that alcohol was responsible for more hospital admissions than heart attacks, which I thought was very interesting because where I came from in Ohio, I felt like I've never drank as much. I didn't realize how much I drank until I moved to BC. Not only is alcohol ridiculously expensive here, but it's so much more expensive than weed that I don't know why anybody would choose alcohol over weed. At home, it's pretty much the opposite. People choose alcohol and they drink. I mean, people still smoke. However, it seems alcohol is just more pervasive in the culture. There's not really an activity in Ohio that you do that doesn't involve having at least 6 beers or shots of Jameson or a combination of the two. But this report was released from, I guess, the Canadian Institute of health information, and it includes alcohol withdrawal, alcohol poisoning, liver disease, alcohol abuse, and it says that there's 212 hospital admissions each day for alcohol. Now, I guess when you think about 212, it doesn't sound like a lot, particularly when you are thinking of it from my perspective as an American, because I believe at Ohio University there was at least 212 alcohol-related hospital admissions on our college campus on Saturday morning, and maybe another 212 on Sunday. Now, it's not like bragging or anything. I'm not like, listen, we have so much alcohol, but it just, this seems a little overblown, particularly because Canada is pretty small. And when you look at the 212 admissions and what are they, and what are people getting admitted for, it seems like a waste of money. However, maybe in America, it would be, people would be admitted more to the hospital in alcohol-related issues if they felt that they could afford a hospital visit. The stark differences in the healthcare systems in Canada and the United States, I believe, are a big reason why I think that people are generally more conscious of their health here in Canada. As you go to the hospital preemptively, when in the United States, it seems that there's more of a culture if you go to the hospital after you already figure out that you can't fix whatever you got at home. You're like, broken bones? Okay, I have to go to the hospital. But a sprain, you're like, listen, do I want to pay this $400 hospital bill to get a splint, or am I just gonna try to walk it off? I feel like in the States, people try to walk off everything. I feel like if people thought that they could walk off diabetes rather than go to the States and rather than pay, these massive hospital bills and get into massive amount of debt, dialysis, and they would try to walk it off. In more health-related news here in BC, I was very surprised to learn that 25% of the transplanted organs in BC in the first few months of, and the first few, not to say the first few months, the first half of this year, a quarter of the organ transplants were donated by people who died of fentanyl overdose. Now, for me, that is an alarming stat because I like to subscribe to, as we've talked about this on the show before, I like to subscribe to certain conspiracy theories. And one of the conspiracy theories that I like to subscribe to is organ theft. Not like theft, like someone gets cut open and left in a bathtub with ice and, you know, they reach back and there's stitches on their kidneys. Because, like, I believe that that does happen. Listen, I watched a Vice documentary, so I'm pretty well informed, pretty much an expert, about in Bangladesh how people sell their organs just so that they can survive. I think that that's terrible. However, in North America, like in Western societies, that doesn't really fly as much, the idea that you have to sell your organs so that you can survive. However, there are people who are rich and people who are waiting for organs who, if they could, would devise a plan so that they could harvest these organs to be used in their transplants to keep them alive longer. Because if I'm not, you just have to think about what would you do if you were rich? Fentanyl seems pretty convenient way to get organs. Listen, like, this is not conspiracy show. It's not even, I'm not even endorsing this as a conspiracy. I'm just informing you. 25% of the transplanted organs. Now, when you look at it from the perspective, if is this a good thing or a terrible thing? Because if you are one of the people who are waiting on the transplant list, when you see this, one, are you like worried that your organs might be like tainted? I don't know how that works, but I couldn't imagine that the addiction somehow skips organs. I felt like it was in like every cell of your body. So if you were addicted to anything else and you take like my organ and put it in your body, like wouldn't be a little bit of me be inside of you? I wonder how much overpowering you'd have to do mentally, physically, so that you could stop whatever I'm addicted to. Getting a little too deep. However, but you think about it. Is it a good thing or a bad thing? 25% of the organs are transferred. So that means there's essentially like one-third more people or a quarter more people who are able to live a little longer because someone was poisoned. Because when I think about fentanyl, I think about poisoning. I was talking about this yesterday while we were sitting in the park. Just why does fentanyl exist? I don't want to blame it. It's not all fentanyl. There's some other additives to these drugs which cause death as well. But why does fentanyl exist? If you are a drug dealer, why would you want fentanyl to exist? That seems backwards. Like, if you were Nike and you made basketball shoes and your basketball shoes killed people or killed the people who wore them or even tore the ACLs or just, you know, just like shredded people's knees, ankles, hips, backs, like, and to the point where they were no longer able to wear your athletic gear. That would seem like bad business. So, like, if you were a drug dealer, why would you continue to sell heroin laced with fentanyl? Because what it does, it stops the cash flow. Not only does it stop, it makes people scared to do drugs. And when people are scared to do drugs, they do less drugs. And if people are doing less drugs, we know how economics works. Supply and demand, that means the supply would increase and your price would go down. So not only are people doing less drugs, but your price will go down. It's bad for business all the way around. So, as we saw, like 2,500 opioid deaths in 2016, and in BC we saw like nearly 1,000. You would think that there's like something has. Something has to change, particularly when it talks about the language we discuss fentanyl, heroin addiction, and just how we treat it. Because while it's nice for people to be able to live longer and live these extended lives, you know, unfortunately, due to these organ transplants, like that's not something that we as a society should be. Even like celebrating, even in this CTV news article, they aren't talking about it in a manner which I feel like is celebratory about, you know, the lives that are saved because of the fentanyl. However, I am sure there's somebody somewhere who believes that these people are just walking organs that somebody else could use who's living a quote unquote better life. So as someone who who's recently lost an old teammate to overdose, you know, and while when I think about it and I think about him particularly, the individual who I knew when we were playing football a few years ago, I feel like he would have, if he knew he was going to pass early, he would have welcomed his organs to be transplanted into individuals that so that they could for their lives. But in reality, we'd just rather have him here with us. So, you know, when thinking about these things, particularly about the, quote, benefits, you have to think that these are real people who die with real families, and something more needs to be done than what is currently being done here and across North America. And we talk a lot about the BC provincial elections, and today will be the first day that the they go back into, I guess it's called like parliamentary, or where the BC Premier and the Green Party, the NDP, and the Liberals all get together and talk about some of the initiatives that they're going to push through for the next 2 years. And it's and while Christy Clark is not popular here in BC, she is popular all across, more popular across Canada, which makes sense because when you think about the initiatives she's pushing, like the Kinder Morgan pipeline, which creates jobs in Alberta and Ontario, it only makes more sense. It only makes sense that she is more popular there as opposed to here. But it is interesting as they move forward and how the Green Party has really pushed the Liberal Party to amend some of their policies that they were pushing through. Like one of the things that the Green Party was really pushing is childcare. They're pushing for more affordable childcare. They're pushing for more affordable housing for individuals here in the Lower Mainland, and they were pushing for the stop of the Kinder Morgan pipeline. And Christy Clark has recently just talked about how she will outline a $1 billion investment into childcare and create 60,000 new affordable spaces over 4 years, and in addition to the 13,000 already pledged. Christy Clark also wants to make a full family subsidies for households making less than 60,000 and partial subsidies for earnings between 60 and 100,000, because not only is housing expensive, really, really expensive here in Vancouver, but also childcare is, which is very interesting because nobody told me that when I decided to coach football. So childcare is expensive. You can sucker a nice guy into coaching your kids for free. So I was completely undervalued as a football coach. However, it's important that you know your worth. And now, thanks to Chris Christie. Like, that's the guy from New Jersey, and he's trash. Christy Clark, I don't really know her as much as I read about her, but I'm not willing to say that she is Basuda just yet. Also, within Christy Clark's amendments and the things that she has taken from the NDP and the Green Party is that they want to create like a rent-to-own. They want to create like a rent-to-own housing plan, and I wish I had Senior Davidoff to come in and talk about it, because maybe, you know what, we're gonna have Davidoff on next week in an interview to talk about some of these housing policies and how that they are really going to affect people, particularly like me, newer graduates who have an income. However, you don't want to spend more than half of your monthly income on rent, which is what I found out that actually a lot of people are putting up with if they want to live by themselves here. So the rent-to-own plan here in I'm trying to find some more information. Is what they call the throne speech, Chris Christie is going to basically unveil the rent-to-own plan. The rent-to-own plan is pretty much going to target middle-class renters here in BC who really can't afford to put down a $100,000 payment, which is 20% of like $500,000. $500,000 here in BC will buy you like a one-bedroom condo, maybe, on the east side. So to put down 20%, which is what you have to do here in Canada as a Canadian resident, I think if you're a foreign national, you don't have to put down 20%. It just seems out of reach for a lot of people, particularly if you don't live with your parents. And while it's a bigger deal than just rent to own, they think it'll create 50,000 new middle class homes, but these numbers are always overestimated, and I have very little faith. However, but we talked about we're going to bring Tom Davidoff, who is the housing expert, not only here in Canada, but in the United States as well, as he worked with the Obama administration on developing housing plans for people. When we get back, we'll be talking a little bit about Dolce & Gabbana and how their trolling backfired, but also I feel like they might have won a little bit.
What could distract people who love sports? Sports. 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 Sports.
Do you find sports distracting? Feel the need to chant sports for hours on end? Then come on by the CITR station at the new sub to get involved. We do play-by-play, color commentary, audio production, interviews, and so much more. Only on CITR 101.9 FM.
It's not just rich people that own the media.
But by leaving out the most important things you need to know, they can elevate awareness to a new all-time low.
I own my media.
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 The Media Co-op is a grassroots national news network that's owned by its members.
But if it's just left out, can you say the paper lied? A lot of things that happened didn't happen after all. If there's no one in the forest who will put it in the news, I guess the tree didn't fall.
Join us today at mediacoop.ca/join.
I'm joining today. You should too.
Energy, energy. My shit is booming. My shit is booming.
Stupid
amount. My shit is booming.
Stupid amount of energy, fam. You get me.
My shit is booming.
My shit is booming like Metro. Anything's possible. My problems get ran over. Just like an obstacle. You're all stepping in DMs. Told her to Google me. Go ahead and read the articles. It's like two of them truthfully. My shit is booming like Metro. Things starting to heat up. I got the tech at your throat. Speak up, speak up. Anyone can get it. You're an extra in my movie. Young Morocco with the Uzi. When the hell the niggas turning to groupies?
My shit is booming. My shit is booming.
Stupid amounts of energy, fam.
My shit is booming.
Young Picasso with the details. You can't see my bigger picture. Relax on the emails. It's 7 Dragon Balls a feature. Cause my shit is booming like, whoa. You are not my bro. I damn near lost count of you fakes. Does anyone rap anymore? Bow down to the vision. My math all fucked up. Half my friends in the kitchen. Other half are just locked up. You're a supply teacher. You cannot test me. I'm in the West End, Bubba Davies. And just know, men's are not friendly. Cause all of y'all got me fucked up. Fucked up like Tory Lanez. Jump shot. Bat down to the top. Shot to call me Top Top. Catch me on the road in a drop top. Or on.
Trippin', sliding in my thoughts.
Drinking,
thinking how I'm getting home. I'm swerving, still I got control. Don't tell me, show me, show me, show me. Slip it right off your shoulders, make it count. Don't hold it up and make it bounce.
bounce, do it for Louis and the party face. I spilled the liquor I was chasing.
But only in the nighttime. That's when we do exchanges and make changes. Cut and count the money in your mom's basement. But waiting for the right time. Run up on the homie, tell the man, he it up. You're pumping out your chest, but ain't it manly enough? Tell him, hand me the stuff, man. Only in the nighttime. But only in the nighttime. Only in the nighttime. Nighttime. Back when Master P was saying, Louis had titties in the Cavalier donuts, making nose, never chicken with the drum. He had all the white girls asking out, ask about Louis in the second, know I'm cashing out. Penetrate the middle, dishing, passing out. Sleep in it, though I'm never sleep. Freak with it, dodging D's with some double D's. Passenger suite, Alicia, please. Khaled with the keys. Though I throw it like a saint, though I ain't a saint. Shit is a breeze, a couple thousand on me right now. I can have your baby mama with me right now. Confused this villain for a hero with a bright smile. I'm really Darth Vader when the light's down. But only in the nighttime.
Back with Off the Beam Path here on 101.9 CITR, Vancouver's community radio station. Here with your host, Issa Arian. And before we left, I said we were going to talk a little bit about Dolce & Gabbana's runway this past weekend with Rory, making a protest at the runway show. However, we're going to go into something a little more tough. I think real. As we, I don't really touch the police shootings here much on the show. However, the murder of Philando Castile in the aftermath of the trial, has really struck me. I was thinking about something that I said, particularly to one of my friends, when the verdict came out that the officer was going to be found not guilty, and I said, "Are you shocked?" And which I said, "Are you shocked?" And I really thought about that as me. And my thought process is like, man, I have 100% normalized these shootings in my mind as something that just happens. And that's not okay. It's not okay. I'm going to play for you the audio. Well, if you don't know, Philando Castile was a individual who was driving in Minnesota with his girlfriend and her 4-year-old daughter when they were pulled over by a police officer for a broken taillight. Philando was a registered gun owner, and so as the police approached the vehicle, he tells the officer that he has a firearm, which is what you're supposed to do, and gives the officer license and registration, and then the officer subsequently panics within a few seconds and shoots him 7 times. And the entire aftermath of the shooting is captured on Facebook Live by Diamond Reynolds, who's Philando Castile's girlfriend. I distinctly remember when this came out, because it was on captured on Facebook Live. Like this was, like a little over a little under a year ago, when I believe Facebook Live is pretty new feature. And so it was shared, like seen by millions and millions of people very, very, very quickly. You were able to see, you saw him bleeding to death, and you saw the officer. The only time I've ever seen an officer, I feel like freak out after they shoot someone, you know, to immediately signify like, oh shit, like, you know, I have effed up here. And then the trial happens and he found not guilty, and then it's nothing. Like, you know, and I'm continuing, and I told my friend, why are you shocked? But we can't continue to normalize these things. And one of the videos that really got to me was, I'm gonna play for you. It's the 4-year-old little girl talking to her mother in the back seat of the cop car, because that's where they put the girlfriend of Philando Castile at right after they shot her boyfriend. They handcuffed her and put her in a cop car.
It's okay, mommy.
I can't believe they just did this. I'm
f***ing... It's okay, I'm right here with you. Please help me, because I'm just screaming because I don't want you to get shooted.
Okay, give me a kiss.
I can keep you safe.
It's okay, I got it, okay?
That's sad as shit. Like, the little girl says, I can keep you safe. And that's just simply not true. And so after this video, they took the... they took his girlfriend to the police station and interrogated her like a suspect in a crime. The continued mistreatment of individuals, particularly by the police, isn't black people are not the only people subjected to this heinous treatment by police officers. However, as you read articles pertaining to the pertaining to these police shootings and trying to take race out of these police shootings, it is very difficult for me to. I mean, it's impossible to take race out of anything. I continue to not understand how we do that, as if race is never a factor. Race is, in America particularly, has always been a factor, determining on where you can live, where you can go to school, can you vote or not, do you have a say, where you work, how you feel at work, you know, what are some of the duties you're allowed to do, some of the responsibilities. It's always been a factor. And so the continued, like, disingenuous people who continue to bring this up, like, it's exhausting. However, I believe that it's important that we don't fall to an understanding like me, where you just normalize it and try to write it off. Like, I live in a very comfortable bubble here in Vancouver, Canada. However, these things still continue to touch me. Yesterday I was at Crab Park, and I was just hanging out, and this individual who was most likely had some mental health issues and was self-medicating. And so the police officer, so we called the police because he was bleeding pretty severely from his back and complaining of a stab wound that he had received 2 days prior. And so we called the police, called the ambulance, and the police came, and the police just talked to him. that was it. Like, please talk to him. And when he, they offered to help him, he said he didn't want to go to the hospital. They just let him go. You know, he was yelling and causing. He was causing a scene. I don't know if necessarily causing problems. However, I can imagine just how different that would have went in these states. And it's so surprising because when talking to the police officer, you know, telling him like, "Hey, I'm from the states," and that's it's crazy the difference in levels of policing and how just the reaction. And they agree. They go for police training in the states, and they say, "Listen, this is way different. Not only is it way different, but every time an American sees us policing, it's just treated so differently, and that something has got to change. And it's not like something can't not change. Something needs to change, and not only in the police officers' minds, because the police officers are regular people. Regular people every day become police officers, and so." The idea that you believe that race has nothing to do with anything, or that maybe police officers should either be truly brave and not fear for their lives over something so small, or they can acknowledge that they are human as well and they make mistakes and then be punished so. Because when a regular civilian makes a mistake and accidentally shoots someone that they shouldn't, they are punished. As when we come back, we're going to be talking a little bit about. We're gonna go into Rory, and we're gonna go into this story that I found fascinating about creating a pay-for-play HBCU basketball league, and maybe from there we will touch a little bit on the NBA draft and why the differences are so stark between the NFL and the NBA draft.
Something different. What if you worked with people you admired in a city that inspired you, making something that you were proud of? The Media Institute for Social Change is looking for students like you to be a part of their summer documentary program in Portland, Oregon. As a student, you'll create original audio and video pieces about issues that you care about. You'll meet and learn from media professionals whose work is aimed at social justice. You'll immerse yourself in Portland, a city that will serve as your hands-on media-making laboratory. Sound like your type of summer? Apply today at MediaMakingChange.org.
We don't need to tell you that Vancouver has a housing problem.
Mass evictions.
Mass rent evictions.
Unfair rent increases.
What happened to rent control and protection from unfair eviction?
If these or other housing matters concern you, you may be interested in joining the Vancouver Tenants Union. For more information, visit tenantsunion.ca.
Phases, I stay going through different phases. My life's changing and I gotta face it. My heart's taking me to different places. I came to this country, didn't know a damn thing. 18 years old and in need of planning. Thought I was ready, I wasn't ready. Guess it's me and myself again. Time to go make some friends. Find me somebody to keep me safe. All of these people and all of their names. All of this love and all this disdain. All of these seasons and all of this change. Dreaming of my paradise. I keep going through different phases. I stay going through different phases. Different phases. I keep going through different phases.
lost my mind at 2 a.m. Had nobody to turn to, had to call on all my strength. It felt like it was over before it even began. Dreaming of my paradise. I keep going through different phases.
You're here with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR, Vancouver's community radio station. If you like the show, you should like it on Facebook at facebook.com/offthebeatenpath. You can also follow on mixcloud.com/offthebeatenpath. You can call in and tell me that you like it yourself at 604-822-2487. That's 604-822-CITR. So in the past segment, we spoke a little bit about Philando Castile and the subsequent trial. And what we know that since Ferguson in 2013, that happened, feels like it happened so long ago, since Trayvon Martin in 2012, you know, we've seen protests all over the country, protesting for racial equality, protesting police shootings, protesting police brutality. And so Rory is a performing artist. He has, I believe, one album called Rory. And he was most recently a model on the Dolce & Gabbana runway. Very interesting. Interviewing a 18-year-old yesterday who saw a picture of the protest, didn't know who Rory was. I thought it was pretty interesting because I thought I was pretty hip for knowing who he was, but I would not. I don't know if you know, Dolce & Gabbana came out and they had a I think it was Miley Cyrus at first, said how she didn't agree with Dolce & Gabbana was happy for her little brother who was walking in his first runway show. And then Dolce & Gabbana came out with shirts that said, they came out and sold shirts that said, hold on, let me see. Oh. Sorry, I'm having some technical difficulties. But Dolce & Gabbana basically made shirts that said, if you can look it up on Google, it would be appreciative. So I don't have to explain to you. There's shirts that said, hashtag boycott Dolce and Gabbana, and that's what you pop up when you type. It's I'm looking for it. But they basically told Miley Cyrus to boycott Dolce & Gabbana. And so Rory, who was walking the runway show, decided that he felt like he was making a statement at the end of the show and took off his shirt where he wrote, protest and give me my freedom and I'm not your scapegoat on his body. He says boycotting matters. Boycotting is real. Dolce & Gabbana's entire campaign says it's not real. I know that if I walk out there and support or endorse anything that sits next to Trump, then that means I support Trump, and I don't support Trump, so I'm trapped. Because Dolce & Gabbana decided to dress Melania Trump, and that's what it was. And people said they were going to boycott Dolce & Gabbana, and then Dolce & Gabbana made shirts that they sold that said boycott Dolce & Gabbana. So basically, trolling everyone who says they're going to boycott Dolce & Gabbana, which I feel like is a very select segment. Because Dolce & Gabbana is very, very, very expensive. So I believe that, one, if you're going to... I can't imagine people in that demographic who can afford Dolce & Gabbana are the same people who disagree with Donald Trump. However, I think that this protest that Rory did is just as silly as Tory Lanez last week. We talked about Tory Lanez in a Toronto-based rapper who went in a whole Renfro and... was mistreated by the staff and basically felt that the staff said he was too poor to buy anything in the store. And so he spent $35,000 and put it on Snapchat, basically just talking about like how really showing whole Renfro. And I believe that this Rory protest is pretty much in the same sphere. Like, come on, dog, you cash a check. Like, you walk for Dolce & Gabbana. And then you cash a check, and then you want to talk. You want to say that protesting is real and protesting matters, but you weren't even willing to pass up on a paycheck from Dolce & Gabbana so much that you still walked in the show. And not only did you still walk in the show, you walked in the show. You gave them this really, really great image of you with your fist in the air and wearing Dolce & Gabbana shorts with protest Dolce & Gabbana and give my freedom written on your body. And give them even more publicity than they already have in a demographic that they actually don't probably give a shit about because they can't afford their clothes anyways. I just feel that you can't go against who you you can't go against the people who give you a check and then publicly talk about how that is a meaningful protest. And say you're from Stone Mountain, Georgia. Stone Mountain, Georgia, I don't know if people are familiar, but Martin Luther King speaks about Stone Mountain, Georgia, particularly in Atlanta, a lot, because it is a surely like a dividing line of and a like symbolic, a large symbol of race in America. And to, I guess, like, evoke those type of emotions, yet you continue to walk for Dolce & Gabbana and cash a check, for me, feels like you're not doing enough. So we might run out of a little bit of time. However, a story came out yesterday. As we have discussed this before, when you look at the NFL and the NBA draft, you look at the NFL and the NBA draft, and it's very interesting because in the NBA draft, unless you, I feel like you're a diehard college basketball fan, you don't really know the names. Like, I know the names of like three or four or maybe five people who are going to get drafted on drafted tonight in the NBA draft. But it feels like in the NFL, there's at least like 100 people's name that you know. And I don't think that's particularly because I follow college football as closely as I did before. I just think that the game has just more people on the field, so that when you watch a game, you know, there's 22 players on the field at one time as opposed to 10. And when you're watching particularly games on TV, it's normally schools from the Power Five conferences where there's at least one NFL player on pretty much on NFL talent on every team in college football that pretty much got to get shown on TV. So, but in college basketball, it seems as if there might be there's like one or two NBA players per conference, and just so many more games that we don't really get to know the players, but there is a individual who has come up with an idea to disrupt the NCAA and create this league, particularly with HBCU basketball teams, HBCU schools, and to get the players to be paid. And if you'd like to check it out, it's on Vice Vice Sports. The article is called "The Plot to Disrupt the NCAA with a Pay-for-Play HBCU Basketball League." Or you can check it out on the Facebook page, because it will be posted. And when you think about the economics of NCAA and how much money that is generated, particularly off the backs of two sports, football and basketball, which really support all the other college sports teams, from rowing to fencing to badminton and volleyball, in a society where we generally reject socialism and other socialist ideals, college football and basketball seem to be supporting a lot of these non-revenue generating sports. And when you look at the demographics of who's doing the labor and who's supporting who, it doesn't actually surprise you, as it mimics, you know, American history, and not only American history, but maybe colonial history all over. So when thinking about devising a plan to get players to be paid, sending them to creating a league specifically for HBCU schools seems like a great plan. Now, we don't really have time to dive into this. However, if you want to hear more about this, you can listen to you can go to crimesandtreasons.com, which is another radio show. It's on Tuesday from 9 to 11, playing uncensored rap all week, all the time. New rappers. This past week we had DJ I, and she is a Japanese DJ out of Vancouver who spins 12-inch vinyls, and we'll really take you back with some of the music. It's really cool to see somebody doing real DJ shit. And for this week, we're out. Thank you for staying tuned with us, with me, here for the last hour. Hope you guys have a great weekend. Enjoy the nice weather. And if you'd like to learn more about this HBCU pay-for-play,